Welcome back to another episode of the Ryan Reed Podcast. I'm your co-host, Miles Reed.
I'm your co-host, Davon Reed.
And today we are here at Las Vegas 2025 SneakerCon. So this is my first time me being at SneakerCon. I know you've been here, not this specific one, but SneakerCon before. What was it like?
Yeah, man. I have always enjoyed SneakerCon. I think my first time was in high school. My boy Ethan Cheese, shout out to what's Cheese's actual official brand name?
E5
Cheese. Cheese Taken.
Cheese Taken.
Cheese Taken. My boy Ethan from Cheese Taken came through in high school and said, "Man, let's go to SneakerCon." It really opened me up to this market and this world. So here I am years later, taking my brother finally to one. So we're excited to be here in Vegas for SneakerCon, and we're going to see what they got to offer in here. We're going to also expand our brand, the Right Read Podcast, giving it to you live anywhere you need, bro.
This industry doesn't just build buildings, it builds legacies. At IBDC, we don't chase every sector. We've chosen one: windows, doors, and the companies that frame them. It's not a niche to us. It's the foundation of our work and the source of our passion. We're proud to be the only M&A advisory firm dedicated exclusively to the fenestration industry. From third-generation family businesses to global manufacturing platforms, we've helped our clients navigate growth, succession, and strategic transformation across North America and Europe. Why does it matter so much to us? Because we come from the industry ourselves. We understand the materials, the margins, the cycles, and the people. We know what it takes to build something that lasts, and we know how personal these decisions can be. Buy-side strategy, sell-side execution, cross-border deals, real-world insight. Our approach goes beyond financial engineering. We bring operator-level experience, sector-specific insight, and a hands-on process that respects what you've built while helping you unlock what's next. Whether you're planning a retirement, exit, expanding your footprint, or exploring a strategic acquisition, partner with the firm that lives and breathes this business. International Business Development Consulting, Fenestration M&A Specialists, intlbdc.com.
So we're here at SneakerCon with JC, founder of Urban Necessities, one of the best stores in Vegas. He built it from the ground up, and we just want him to share a lot of light on his story, from his perspective, from his words. We're very honored to have him on the Right Read Podcast. But before we get started, we got to do what we always do. We do a fit check. So okay, how about you start us off with what you got on today, man?
Light. I got Yachty's, skin socks. You know, got the Rick Owens, Yachty, my boy John Stan fitted. And I'm wearing a swatch, 1 pound swatch. So just, like,
I just grabbed the swatch myself.
Yeah, that's good, bro. I was looking at the moon swatch. I actually have that one, but change the straps.
Uh-huh.
You gotta get on Amazon and pick up this, like, the straps are a little bit, give you a little bit more room.
Put me on game, brother. Put me on game.
Typically, I don't like wearing Air Force ones, but
now these go.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
And like, for me personally, I have to see sneakers on feet in person for me to like a picture can. Yeah. Show you, but on feet. And
well, I'm gonna tell you right now, like, I mean, you guys are seeing it in person, right? It's hard to have a shoe like this. Is a shoe everybody's like, man, this looks good, but how do I pull that off? And I've seen some people trying to pull this off in the last 2 days and they can't. Like, color coordination is still very key. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Very much. Well, we love your fit, man.
Appreciate you.
And we just want to get right into it, man. Okay. There's a lot going on in the sneaker world and street culture and urban streetwear space as it relates to your business.
Yeah.
So we really just want to give you the open floor, man. Is there anything that you want to talk about, things that you've learned in this business as somebody who's built it all the way up from the ground up?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm like at a very a lot of what I did with my brand, right, was so unconventional. And I think what gets lost in how I created, as opposed to how most people created before me, during me, after me, the intention's always about the dollar, right? My focus was never necessarily about the dollar at any point in building my brand. It was always about the experience and leaving impactful, like changing the business practices of human interaction. Because like you, I love going to the store, see, touching, feeling, but everybody's selling stuff and nothing is like exciting,
right?
And so when I started this brand, it was with the intention of like scratching a set itch in my community that was, man, we don't have a place where you can like look and touch and feel the history. And like I don't play music that's at H&M when I was, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But now there's this transition that's happened with my brand, where the brand received so much support over its initial years that it had to scale and continue to grow. And to continue to grow, it needs to continue to eat. And you take on people that you think you're aligned with, but it doesn't necessarily align. And there's some accountability that needs to be taken on both sides. And I'm here trying to play my part of it. I've been disconnected from the brand for 3 years for a multitude of reasons. And over the last 2 years, it was almost like the brand forgot how to pay bills. And at the end of the day, I got to pay at least half the bills,
right?
Because even though I'm not there, my name's there.
Right.
And so I'm just outside trying to address people's questions, concerns, and taking notes down on how much people are owed, because if they don't get it from them, at some point they're going to get it from me. Because what it looks like is an inevitable bankruptcy for a business that, in my opinion, shouldn't be bankrupting. I thought
at all
that was too big to fail.
Right.
And it alienated the people that got it there.
Right.
And I'm just like letting everybody know, I ain't forgot about y'all. You know?
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, for example, that you did Urban Necessity. You always gotta, even though something negative happened to that, you found another way or another outlet. And then it's just like you didn't stop. You didn't
have that passion. Because you got to understand, like, how do you do what I did? Or how do you become an entrepreneur? How do you have the career that you had to get to access all these walks of life, get all these unique interactions that you're like, man, I can't believe I'm in this room.
Right.
And then you learn a different way of life. How do you revert back to the little version of you? There's no, well, you think I'm going to go to, where am I going to go? Best Buy? Target?
Right.
Nah, bro, I like traveling. Yeah. This is, I'm very comfortable here. Right. I belong here.
Yeah.
I have 10 years of work that show I belong here. And so, look, I can't wait till that breaks so people can let go of what's going on. So I could address what needs to really get handled, because no one over there wants to give me access to anything. So I can start this next thing.
This is like, for example, you could do 100 great things, and that one
it takes
wrong,
one second.
That one wrong thing that they do, they're going to remember that forever. Well,
I mean, in your career, right, just to tie it back to y'all, like, how many teammates have you seen have that one lapsing moment that can never be your teammate again?
Right.
Or a teammate to anyone again.
Right.
And is that... speaking on the, is that one lapse, that one lack of judgment, correct action, does that speak on the totality of that person's career or who they are as a person?
Right.
No, but it's always there. It's the asterisk, right? And so my asterisk that everyone is like, there's no way he's going to do it, is, am I going to pay people? And people don't even, I don't even know what we're going to owe, but I know I'm going to pay it.
Right.
Always got to find a way.
You know?
So can you talk to us a little bit about the new endeavors now?
Yeah.
Got a little bit off your chest, but talk to us about social services and what that is.
So social services started off as me, like, basically while I'm at Urban, telling people that I'm like a social worker.
Right.
Because if you've ever had any interactions with me at the store or at a trade show or just in passing, you see me like people are. We're never talking about shoes or clothes. It's always, yo, how did you, yo, how do I, hey, help me with, what would you, you know what I'm saying? So that's what a social worker does, right? He comes in, he looks, he assesses, or she assesses what's going on, and then they, like, give you the game plan,
right,
or run you the play, disconnect, and come back and see, is it right? And then the pivots, and so there's that part of it. There's a you know, obviously a content-driven component that I'd like to get off the ground. And then I'm rebranding. And, you know, like, I look at the clothes that I designed for Urban, and I kind of, the analogy that I like to kind of give is, like, in the tattoo world, there's tattoo conventions also, and there was brands like Summit that basically became, like, the kitschy. Like, if you're into tattoos, these are the shirts you wear.
Okay.
So I had the designs and clothes for that for Urban. Was that because most sneakerheads, and I say this with no offense, they don't know how to dress. So they just need simple stuff. But I've evolved. I've had opportunities to build brands. I've had opportunities to create with brands that are pillars, household names. And I learned along the way, and I'm now creating a higher quality, you know, and dropping that, and it's going to be stuff that'll be sold in boutiques.
Nice.
And so yeah, like right next to you is a shirt that I based off of like a Balenciaga tee that has like no seams, it's cropped, and so it's a little forward fashion. So
nice.
Yeah. Nice. The social work you like.
Nice. Well, you can see your imprint socially. I mean, we've been going to different stores that are some of our favorites, including Urban, including Feature, and they were like, man, if you're going to SneakerCon, make sure you go over and talk to JC. So
I love those guys at Feature, man. They've been they're a pillar in our community, not just here in Vegas, but you know, in the United States. They got touch points all over the country. They're at all the major activations during the, you know, like Super Bowl. So like, I don't, like, they're everywhere.
Right.
And they've done a great job of like, their buyers have done a great job of getting the right brands in there and getting ahead of it, right? Like, so I love everybody over there. They treat me like family. It's the only place in the city outside of when I worked at Urban where they would get my money as far as sneakers and clothes. But I'm glad that I'm humbled that you guys had time to, we could do this.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you.
It's been a pleasure meeting you again as well.
Yeah, pleasure, no worries. For what sure. Other questions y'all got for me? Any?
I mean, I could ask you a million questions. I mean, we're just getting our podcast off the ground. A lot of bumps and bruises just in 8 episodes. We've had to learn ourselves. Like I told you kind of off camera, we talked about building a podcast, but we didn't know that building a podcast meant building a business.
Right.
And so now, you know, we're trying to, like you said, get ahead of the curve, right, take these different mentorship programs, invest in ourselves. So it's hard to say what exactly. I could ask you a million things, but I guess what's something that you learned at this point in your career that if you can go back and say, like, I learned this, maybe I would do that a little bit differently?
Great question. What would I tell myself to do different? The two that stick out the most for me, and I'm personally talking about me, right? I didn't know how to control my emotions when something didn't go the way that I thought it would go. Like, so many things that you like you mentioned, you're like, I want to do a pod. And then you think you got like everything you need because of everything that you watched or the conversation you had. But then when you realize, you're like, after you did the first one and then you look at it, you're like, man, I forgot to ask this. I didn't have the light on that, or the angle one, you know what I'm saying? So there's so many other layers. And in having some of those bottlenecks at the beginning, my emotions I couldn't control, and I, like, when I address things, it's perceived as, like, towards that person, not the moment. And so, heaven forbid, you're doing that type of stuff twice in a day with the same person, because now it's like coach got on you for free throws, and coach got on you for taking a stupid shot. Damn, coach don't like me. coach ain't fucking with me. But it ain't really that coach ain't fucking with you. Coach believes in you and he's on your head because he knows you're better than what you're showing him right now. And it's not that you're not trying your hardest. It's just you haven't done it enough to understand where he's coming from and you don't have the interaction. So I lost a lot of amazing people. And I gave the examples of how not to do it in person to people that I still love, that I'll probably never talk to again because they're focused on old Jay, not current Jay.
Right.
That's adulting.
Right.
That's the first one. The second one for me is we all have like the same stereotypical upbringing.
Right.
Right? And is when you got problems, you keep them, you compartmentalize, you keep them internally, you hold it, and then you just go out and get more. And so Urban was go out and get more, always, every time. And the downside to that was I couldn't keep up. And so I had to go get more help. And the help that I got wasn't the right help. As opposed to slowing down for a minute, taking less sales for a minute, fixing procedures for a minute, to then not have to need nobody's help forever.
Yeah.
I tried to skip a step, and I got my hand cut off. Right? And so when I look back, I wish I would have had more conversations inside and outside the store with like-minded individuals that were always in my circle, but I never understood I could even talk to them like that because we never had these like frictional moments. I was like, until I had my breakdown, booger crying behind closed doors, mad at the world moments, I didn't realize the amazing resources that I had around me.
Right.
And so when now I bring it back to current me, and when you look at me standing here looking for problems,
right,
this is me trying to change our entire culture in the sense of, yo, if you got a problem, it's okay to let it out. Yo, if you don't have a disconnect, it's okay to let it out. It doesn't matter what you look like. And this might not be necessarily the right way to address it, but this is going to create a ripple effect that creates evolution. And I've always said, I never wanted to be the master, the OG. I just wanted to be a teacher because a teacher could forever teach.
Right.
I don't need to be the starting five.
Right.
I'm cool with being Udonis Haslam.
Right.
Udonis got to stay for 20 years.
20 years.
No, 20 years of watching evolution.
Three
in
rings.
Person. In person. And an okay career, like when he had his moment, right? Like, I had my moment. So I'm excited for what's going to come.
Right.
Because if I did $300 million on a stumble,
right,
and not knowing how to do stuff, imagine now how I now know how to do stuff and how not how to do stuff.
Right. Right.
I'm like, yo, I'm about to lose $4 million, $5 million in houses. Cool, the next house will be at least $5 million. Yo, I'm down bad, but I'm still driving around in a $300,000 truck even though they took all my bread. Cool, the next car is going to be at least 700 racks. Like, and it ain't even about that I need these things. It's just that I've shown myself this is evolution for me.
Right.
All right, well, yo, I sold 4,000 or 5,000 shirts a month out of one store, and the trap used to do $30 million with no help. All right, now the next one, I'm going to have help. We're going to do $300 million a year. That's what I'm on.
Right.
And so for you guys, I think it's just, how do you add the layers? How do you write down, like, yo, this is what I want? Okay, if I invest the time to do this, how does it break? How do I prevent it from breaking? What do I need to break? And then, like, just keep playing with it till, like, it's like, fuck, I have an answer for every problem that's going to come right in front of me.
Right.
And with this, it's like, the reality of it is you probably got to take an hour to two to research the person you're interviewing.
Right.
And then just write all the questions down, maybe have a screen on the side.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then somebody else ear hustling, like, right, yo, you forgot this one. And being okay with the edits in between, like, you got it, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, and you guys have a great network, so
appreciate
I'm excited to start paying attention from here forward and
for
see
sure.
where you guys go.
Appreciate it. Sure. Like, your story is just very inspirational, how, like, you took that negative and made it, like, into a bigger positive. Like, you're just taking it as cool.
Well, you gotta understand, like, look, if I don't look at it in any other way but a lesson, it's gonna kill me. It's either gonna kill me mentally, physically, emotionally, but if I sit here and accept, yo, Like, here's the reality of my problem. It's a one to up to $50 million problem.
Right.
I would have never studied like this in school. It costs more when you don't study.
Yeah.
It costs more when you don't give the time.
Mm.
Right? So if I have to pay $1 to $50 million for this lesson, well, damn, bro, I'm going to be happy as fuck to hold this diploma. Because if I could pay this much for the lesson with this little availability and resources to do it, and I'm still surviving and people are still showing me they're rocking with me, when I have my doctorate, forget it. Like, we're going to own the league. Right? And so that's why I'm out here. Because I know I'm the start of other people that are having problems internally within families, teams, whatever. Like, I'm telling you, it's okay. It is okay. You just got to rip the Band-Aid off. And if your pinky toe's turning green, cut that shit before you lose your leg. I cut my pinky toe off, and it's gushing. But sooner or later, that shit stopped bleeding, and I'm still outside shooting.
For sure, man. We appreciate all the beautiful advice you've been giving us, man. Make sure you tell the family and fans what's your socials, how they can follow you, whatever they need.
2J's Kicks, TWLJS Kicks. And I started an Instagram for social services. I ain't posted on it yet, but it's Social Services Media. But I appreciate y'all sharing the light and time with me, man. It means a lot, bro.
Man, we appreciate you, man. We back here again at SneakerCon 2025 in Las Vegas with the legendary JC. We can't wait to see all his new endeavors come to fruition, man. We thank you. Appreciate it, bro.
And this has been another episode of the Right Read Podcast. I'm your co-host, Miles Reed.
I'm your co-host, Damon Reed.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Right Read Podcast, like, share, subscribe to our YouTube at The Right Read. Follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok at The Right Read.